Hey, this is Erin Moran from A Girl Called Eddie, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Morning Show. And did you know that PFOS or PFAS, forever chemicals, have been found in the drinking water recently in Valencia at the New Lebanon High School, in the town of Cairo, in Hoosick Falls, in Newburgh, and in other Hudson Valley communities? We'll hear today on the WGXC Morning Show about the New York State Drinking Water Council meeting this week to discuss testing and reporting on 23 PFAS chemicals. We'll hear from Rob Hayes, the Director of Clean Water for Environmental Advocates, on that issue. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on this WGXC Sustainable Pledge Drive edition of the WGXC Morning Show. You can make your pledge at wgxc.org/donate. And you can tune in for all the on the WGXC Morning Show after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
News. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network, and the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through, and the moon turns the blood. This is the network, network, and the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through, and the moon turns the blood. This is the network, network, this is the news. This is the network.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Columbia Green Media reports the first results from the March 15th village elections. In Catskill, there was a potential rout. Candidates running on the Democrat and Action Party lines led for all three spots on the village board, while those running on the Republican and Village Vision lines were behind. Incumbent Republican Jeffrey Holliday was losing to Democrat Michelle Williams 356 to 290 for one seat. Incumbent Democrat Natasha Law with 378 votes. Democrat Megan Henry with 344 votes led for the two other seats. Jamie Heyer Mitchell with 278 votes, and Diane Petrani March with 244 votes, who ran on the Republican and Village Vision lines, trailed behind. But Catskill Democrats should wait for the absentee ballots before celebrating. Last year, Williams led with a 55-44% margin over Holliday when the unofficial results were announced on election night, virtually the same as in this election. But after counting 265 absentee ballots last year, Holliday won 199 of them, giving the retired New York State Trooper a 451-369 win over Williams. In the Village of Coxsackie election, there could be an upset. Rebecca O'Vermile was the leader after the unofficial count with 58 votes. Write-in finished second with 56 votes, and Catlin E. Irwin finished third with 55 votes. Absentee ballots included in the official count later could change that outcome, deciding who gets the two seats there.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that allowing customers to take alcoholic drinks as part of a takeout order from restaurants apparently is not happening in New York this year. The Democratic majority in the legislature did not include the measure in their budget proposals this year, and Governor Kathy Hochul acknowledged on March 14th the issue would not pass this year. She said of a permanent extension of the alcohol-to-go provision, and I quote, "I want to make sure that happens," end quote. She added, and I quote, "We'll find the right place to get it done. This is something New Yorkers are excited about," end quote. Restaurants were allowed to sell to-go alcohol in New York during parts of the COVID-19 pandemic, but now lobbying efforts from bars and liquor stores may have changed some lawmakers' opinions. Hochul said, and I quote, "This is to help businesses. This is to help them recoup money they lost during the pandemic. This is a lifeline for them. I don't want to cut off that lifeline that our businesses are begging for, and I want to get it done before the end of the session," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Natasha Von Holdridge is reporting for Columbia Green Media that more than $800,000 in federal funding is expected for broadband in the towns of Ghent, Canaan, New Lebanon, and Austerlitz. Congress passed a $1.5 trillion omnibus spending bill last week, which allocates nearly $830,000 in funding, which will become available after the measure is signed into law by President Joe Biden. A broadband study conducted for Columbia County in 2021 found there are more than 1,200 unserved addresses that do not have access to broadband. Columbia Economic Development Corporation President and CEO F. Michael Tucker said, quote, "With these funds, it is anticipated that close to 25% of those addresses will get access to broadband service, reducing the need for the funding necessary to serve all of Columbia County," unquote. 300 homes and businesses of the 1,250 unserved addresses in the county are located in the four towns named, Tucker said. Quote, "We have seen estimates of $10 million to $12 million needed to serve all 1,250 addresses, but are awaiting detailed cost estimates from the four broadband providers in the county," unquote, he said. The four towns began issuing requests for proposals for the broadband work in January. U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado announced he voted for the federal bill last week, which his office said included funding for 9 Delgado-led community projects in the district. Quote, "The investments in this package address some of our nation's biggest challenges while providing much-needed support to my constituents in upstate New York," unquote, the Rhinebeck Democrat said in a statement. Quote, "With this funding, we are investing in the middle class, lowering costs for the working families, creating American jobs, and supporting vulnerable folks in our communities," unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that the town of New Baltimore and the village of Tannersville are getting millions of dollars in loans and some grant money for water infrastructure projects from the New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation. On March 14th, the state organization announced $1,875,733 in long-term interest-free financing and a $111,712 grant for watershed systems upgrade for the town of New Baltimore, and $2,249,788 in long-term interest-free financing and $534,835 grant to rehabilitate the Tannersville Water Treatment Plant, arsenic removal treatment for the Rip Van Winkle well, additional groundwater source capacity, replacement of aged water mains and meters, and rehabilitation of the existing water storage tank in Tannersville. In a press release, Governor Kathy Hochul explained the water funding source. Hochul said, and I quote, "With the surge of funding from the federal bipartisan infrastructure law and historic investment in clean water initiatives in my executive budget, we will work together with local governments to modernize New York's water infrastructure to protect public health and the environment and help ensure a robust economy," end quote. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
Patricia Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that the public failed to show on March 14th for a public hearing on a recommendation by the Ulster County Periodic Review Committee to give pay raises to the county's elected officials. The committee has recommended the salaries of the four countywide elected officials be increased by $15,000. The salaries would increase by $7,500 this year and $7,500 in 2023. It is also recommended the rank-and-file legislators and caucus leaders receive a $2,000 raise over 2 years and that the salary for the legislature chair be increased by $2,500 over 2 years. The county executive, sheriff, and comptroller have not had pay raises since 2009. The county clerk's salary has not changed since 2005. The county executive is now paid $133,572. If the recommended pay hikes are approved, that salary would increase to $148,572 by 2023. The salaries of the other county officials would increase to $116,709 by 2023. Although no one from the public offered an opinion on the proposed salary increases this week, the comptroller, clerk, and sheriff each submitted letters and appeared before the committee urging salary hikes for their positions, noting that their salaries are lower than those paid to their peers in other counties. The recommendation will now go to the county legislature for consideration. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Tracy Zimer reports in the Times Union that a 157-acre property for sale in Old Chatham would set a record for the highest residential sale in Columbia County if the owners received their $15 million asking price. The property at 47 White Bridge has 8 bedrooms and 9.5 baths in a building from 1775. The main farmhouse, though, has been updated with radiant flooring, a large kitchen, several wood-burning fireplaces. The Times Union says right now Columbia County's most expensive residential real estate is a 90-acre Kinderhook estate known as Folly Farm that sold in 2019 for $8 million. In August 2021, a 5-bedroom, 5-bathroom home in Valencia came close, selling for $6.25 million. Meanwhile, the Hudson Valley has an affordable housing crisis, with higher prices driving longtime residents out of the market. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 57 degrees. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 39 degrees. And on Thursday, a chance of rain mainly after 7 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 54 degrees. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 43 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia County.
Wednesday, March 16th, tune in to all sorts of live programs at WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 11 a.m. Mayuka Fujino is live in the WGXC Acres studio with Mirage Station. Then at noon, Spike Priggen is live from Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill for 2 hours of the Bedazzled Radio Hour. At 4 p.m., I'm live in Acre with the WGXC Afternoon Show. 7 p.m., we're live from New York City with the Off the Hook Show, simulcast on WBAI from the 2600 Hacker Collective. Collective. At 8 p.m., it's time for Rock and Roll High School live from Hudson with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanovskaya. At 10 p.m., Jeff Economy is live from Ulster County with Snack Point Charlie. And at midnight, Peter Aaron is live from Ulster County with Go Go Kitty, simulcast on Radio Kingston and live on WGXC 90.7 FM until 2 a.m.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Jacob Leisler Institute for the Study of Early New York History is giving out a $500 scholarship in memory of Ruth Pawanka, an influential and well-known local historian. The award will go to a student locally looking to further their education in history. The scholarship is available to college-bound seniors graduating from a Columbia County school, and applications are due by May 1st. For more information and application guidelines, you can contact the Leisler Institute at info@jacobleiserinstitute.org. Go to the WGXC community calendar online for a link to this scholarship award information and listings of all sorts of other local community events.
You like music?
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXC. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Tune in to Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
How can I say no to that?
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, March 16th. Early morning temperature span is tight. There is 34 degrees in Bull's Head and 37 in Gay Head. And all of Columbia County is right in the middle at 35 degrees. Get those seeds started now. We'll let you know when the ground warms up. Today is looking dry with a high of 58 degrees at 4 p.m. Breezes will be light and cloud cover will be low. Conditions will be cool for most of the day. Get out there and enjoy it if you can. Overnight, it will drop to 41 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll have light rain and a high of 57. 41 degrees, again, overnight, takes us into a dry Friday with a high of 65. Rain starts after dark and keeps on going all night. A low of 49 is expected. Saturday looks like it will be wet all day with a high of 55. Sunday will be moist, breezy, and have a high of only 50 degrees. Pollen levels are sticking in the low territory for today and tomorrow, and Friday it starts to go up. High tide will be at 2:41 a.m., then low tide at 8:54 a.m. High tide again at 2:49 p.m., then low tide again at 9:31 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 36 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:48 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:02 a.m. Looking way up, we see we are still expecting a CME arrival tomorrow. G1 class storms are possible. Solar wind speed is currently 410 kilometers per second at 5.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair below 15 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 71. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who are asking for some help over here at your favorite distraction from daily life, WGXE. Just head on over to WGXE.org, and before you click on listen, try out the donate section. It's just as fun and twice as satisfying. We appreciate all of your support.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Carrie and Donald Gardner of Athens, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Too much about it.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Today, we're again showing the American people that as a country, we can come together as Democrats, Republicans, and Independents and do big things.
President Joe Biden has signed into law a $1.5 trillion spending bill to fund the federal government through the end of the fiscal year. The measure includes appropriations to combat the opioid crisis, money for law enforcement and violence prevention, and reauthorizes the Violence Against Women Act. The act also provides $13.6 billion in Ukraine aid. That comes as Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky expects to address Congress today. On Tuesday, Zelensky gave a virtual address to the Canadian Parliament. Speaking via a translator, Zelensky said 95 children have died in the last 3 weeks, and he asked lawmakers how they would react if Canadian cities were under attack.
They are giving siege, encircling cities, and they start to shell civil neighborhoods. They bomb school buildings. They destroyed kindergarten facilities.
President Biden is set to travel to Europe next week for a special NATO meeting on the crisis in Ukraine. Idaho is poised to become the latest state to pass a 6-week abortion ban. Based on a new Texas law, it would let private citizens sue folks who violate the ban. Governor Brad Little, a staunch opponent of abortion, is likely to sign it. Boise Democratic Representative Laura Necochea called the measure unconstitutional.
This bill is not clever. It's absurd. Its impacts are cruel.
The New York Times reports that prosecutors are considering a plea deal that could avert a death sentence for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the alleged 9/11 mastermind. The deal would likely mean life in prison. The House of Representatives passed a bill Tuesday to preserve America's Japanese concentration camps. This year marks the 80th anniversary of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's executive order forcing the internment of Japanese Americans. California Democratic Representative Doris Matsui, who was born in one of the camps, is the lead sponsor.
Those of us in the Japanese American community know all too well, if we do not learn from history, we risk the chance of it repeating. That is why we must continue to lift up these stories. That is why we must continue to listen to those who came before us.
Sarah Bloom Raskin has withdrawn her candidacy as one of the Federal Reserve's top Wall Street watchdogs. Opposed by all the Republican senators and now West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin, Raskin has said the Fed should act to slow climate change. Raskin previously indicated she'd take a strong-arm approach to regulating the nation's banks, but GOP lawmakers expressed concern that, as an unelected official, she may overstep her boundaries. And for folks who are still recovering from Sunday's daylight savings time switch, there may be good news on the horizon. The Senate unanimously passed a measure to end the twice-a-year time change Tuesday. The proposal, which still needs approval in the House, would take effect in November 2023. I'm Jonah Chester for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Get your radio on.
listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. My name is Brad Monkel. I'm the host of Ear Candy, which is every second and fourth Thursday of the month from noon to 2 p.m. I interview musicians, comedians, and a bunch of different kinds of artists, and I do what I do because of WGXC. Thank you to the station, and I just wanted to let you know that they are currently doing their winter pledge drive, and right now all donations are being matched, and a portion of all donations for WGXC are going to help with humanitarian efforts in Ukraine. So please consider becoming a monthly supporter of WGXC today.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking with Rob Ayes, who is the director of Clean Water for Environmental Advocate. And on March 10th, there was a meeting in the New York State Drinking Water Quality Council, and they had been charged with implementing a new law that was passed to require various instant, I guess, notifications about if 23 members of the PFOA, PFAS family, you know, what we've seen in Hoosick Falls and Norlite and Newburgh, you know, when is the public notified? So Rob's going to come and explain what happened and why it's important. So did you get what you needed, or did we get what we needed at this meeting?
That's a great question. And actually, there weren't a whole lot of answers at this meeting, but it set up a lot of questions for the next Drinking Water Quality Council meeting, which we expect to happen within the next month. You were talking about how, thanks to a new law that Governor Hochul just signed, every water utility in the state will soon have to test for 23 PFAS chemicals. These are often known as forever chemicals because they stick around in the human body and the environment for years. They are incredibly toxic to human health. So fortunately, you know, water utilities are about to start testing for them. Hopefully the public will soon be notified if these chemicals are in their water. Something unexpected that happened at the Drinking Water Quality Council meeting was that for four of those 23 PFAS chemicals, the Department of Health actually proposed to go farther than what the new law required of them. They proposed actually setting what are known as maximum contaminant levels for those four PFAS. And this would not only require testing and notification by water utilities, but actual cleanup of the drinking water if the levels that are set for those four chemicals are exceeded. So we were glad that the State Department of Health wants to be more proactive in setting more maximum contaminant levels for more PFAS. We continue to urge them to set as levels as low as possible and that are fully protective of human health.
I believe you were talking about trying to get them down to about 2 parts per trillion in order for notification. What was the level they agreed to at the meeting?
Department of Health proposed levels of 10 parts per trillion for each of the four PFAS chemicals that they want to set maximum contaminant levels for. That's the same level as the current drinking water standards for PFOA and PFOS in our drinking water. But as I was just mentioning, those levels need to be lower to fully protect public health. There is no known safe level of these chemicals in drinking water. And the most vulnerable populations, especially pregnant women and infants, are really susceptible to even low levels of these chemicals.
Right.
So we want to make sure wherever these, you know, especially these four chemicals are detected, that they're cleaned up when they're found in the water. To make that happen, we've been calling for standards to be set around 2 parts per trillion when these chemicals are detected.
And the health department, have they come up with a number yet?
Well, the Department of Health proposed the 10 part per trillion standard. And the
for notification, not just for the four that they're going to look at, but for the whole 23?
The council didn't discuss and DOH didn't propose what notification levels they might set for the 19 other PFAS chemicals. They said that would be coming at the forthcoming Drinking Water Quality Council meeting. And so we've continued to urge them to set those levels as low as possible so that whenever these chemicals are detected, New Yorkers get a letter in the mail saying, here's what's been found in your water, here's the potential health effects, and here's what we might be doing to respond to the situation.
Now, I understand that the public comment period at this meeting was rather curtailed and doesn't seem to be an adequate priority for the council at the moment.
It was very unfortunate how public comment was conducted during the meeting. The Department of Health only set aside about 15 minutes for public comment, and they didn't use many of the common kind of webinar features to make the technology really easy for community members to access. And so as a result, even though 30 people signed up to give their comments about how they want to see drinking water protected in New York State, only four of those people actually got to speak. So that's, 26 New Yorkers who weren't able to make their voice heard at this meeting. We are really urging the Department of Health to update their public commenting procedures for this next meeting. They have to make adequate time for public commenting, and they have to make sure the technology is accessible for residents.
Now, the four chemicals that the state is saying we want to, sort of elevate what the work we do at this point and develop, remediation plans. Does that include PFOA, PFOA, which is what I know in Post and Kill, locally, they found contamination of some of the wells?
Well, luckily, PFOA and PFOS already have these cleanup standards in place, these maximum contaminant levels. So what the Department of Health is proposing is to add four more PFAS and develop similar standards for them at the same level with the same kind of cleanup requirements. Because luckily, the Department of Health is recognizing, even though we've already regulated PFOA and PFOS in drinking water, the whole class of PFAS chemicals is dangerous. And the sooner that we can regulate more of these chemicals in drinking water, the better.
Where does everybody go from here after this meeting with respect to the issues that at least were addressed at this meeting?
Well, there are really two key things going forward. First is that for those four PFAS that the state wants to set cleanup standards for, we want those cleanup standards to be as low and health protective as possible. The department has put forward a fairly strong proposal, but it needs to be lowered to make sure that we're getting these chemicals out of the water wherever they're found. And the second thing we need Governor Hochul and her administration to do going forward is to set for the other 19 PFAS chemicals the lowest notification levels possible. Whenever these chemicals are found in drinking water, New Yorkers deserve to know about it, because it's only when people have full information about what chemicals they're exposed to when they turn on the tap, can they then take action to make sure that water is appropriately cleaned up.
Now, this recently, the state legislature began the home stretch on the state budget, doing the one house budget resolutions. Are, there drinking water quality issues that will be impacted by the next 2 weeks on the budget negotiation?
There are a couple of clean water issues that legislators are considering during the state budget right now. They're considering a lot of new funding for clean water, which is fantastic. Both the governor and both houses of the legislature have put forward $500 million in new funding for the Clean Water Infrastructure Act. This is a big pot of funding that is used to protect clean water across the state. Some of the funding from this program has been used to help local governments install treatment technology to get PFOA and PFOS and other emerging contaminants out of the water. So we're continuing to be supportive of that funding. We're trying to get that pot of funding as big as possible because the clean water needs in our state are enormous. We're really hoping we see $1 billion for the Clean Water Infrastructure Act when the final budget comes out on April 1st.
If people want to find out more information, are there, websites that are readily available, and what should they be doing to inform themselves and perhaps talk to their own, legislators about these issues?
Absolutely. For more information, you can visit our website. It's eany.org. And on that website, you'll actually find an action alert on one of the pages that allows you to send an email to Governor Hochul and the Department of Health urging them to fully protect your water from toxic PFAS. So definitely take action on our website. Share that action alert with your friends and neighbors, because the more people that Governor Hochul and the Department of Health are hearing from, the better the chance that we have to win the drinking water protections we need.
In the last minute, this meeting was focused on this implementation, the PFOS law. Are there other key issues that the Water Quality Council is not moving quickly enough on in the last 30 seconds?
You know, we really hope the council spends more time talking about the impacts to private water wells. We've done a lot in New York State to expand protections for customers of public water systems, but there's an estimated 800,000 private wells across the state, and many of New Yorkers served by those systems may also have contamination that's going undetected and that they're being kept in the dark about. So we really want to see more action to try to extend drinking water protections to private well owners.
Well, we've been talking with Rob Hayes, Director of Clean Water for Environmental Advocates of New York, EANY.org. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Here's 2021 new music from Catskill's Amy Rigby. She released her cover of Bob Dylan's Foot of Pride on December 3rd, 2021, and wrote, quote, I recorded this Bob Dylan song on Thanksgiving Day after listening nonstop to the Infidels outtake version on Springtime in New York. Had never heard the song before, and it floored me. I hope to play this live sometime, so this is a sort of exploration of that possibility, learning how it goes as I put the tracks down, unquote. Here is Amy Rigby's version of Bob Dylan's Foot of Pride.
You say your wife got the husband drunk, but I don't know, I wasn't there. I was visiting a friend in jail. They sang Danny Boy at the funeral and the Lord's Prayer. Preacher talking about Christ's betrayal. The earth just opened and swallowed him up. Then he reached too high, tumbled back to the ground. You know what they say about being nice to the right people on the way up. Sooner or later you're gonna meet them coming down. Well, there ain't no going back, ain't no going back. Revenge is mine, but he drinks and drinks to be fixed. Sing me one more song about whiskey heaven and your old cold-blooded love affair with Errol Flynn. See times of compassion where conformity's in fashion. See one more stupid thing to me before the final man. Thank you.